On this episode, we're looking at and exploring things that are dependent. So we're depending on you, so stay with us. Welcome to Inverse. My name is Justin Kim, and in the Hope Channel Studios, we have Sebastian Kali and Siku. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Aloha.
We want to also welcome you to watching and listening to our show. We are in a topical arc on the reflections on the Sabbath, on the topic of Sabbath itself. And we want to encourage you, as we do every episode, to go to inversebible.org and download the Bible study guide. You can also, on your Apple or your Android platforms, download the Sabbath School app and get your Inverse Bible study guide online on your phone or your digital device. We are on week four, lesson four, depending on what format you're using. And we are looking at the principle of dependence, the principle of dependence. And I'm depending on my friends here, depending on you, listeners and watchers out there, to make this an awesome episode. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we all
dependent on Jesus.
Dependent on the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Come on, somebody.
This dependence is something that our culture, our modern, I wouldn't say even modern, I wouldn't say even in pre-modern, even in old people, young people, whatever,
humanity.
We do not like to be dependent on things.
Yeah. True.
You all know that person that's a little bit sticky, that depends on you for every little thing. And that's what we're going to talk about. Yeah, and that's
clingy.
Yeah. Clingy in a
that's what we're talking about.
In a good way.
Absolutely.
In a good way. We need prayer, as you've already evidenced here. And Siku, please, we need the Holy Spirit. So bless us. We pray.
All right, let us pray. Loving Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher now. Open our minds to truths in your word. In your word, that we could gain a deeper understanding of who we ought to be in you. Amen. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to go to John chapter 15. Mm-hmm. John chapter 15, verses 1 through, let's go to 8 there.
All right. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
And Sebastian, can you read verses 9, 10, and 11?
Sure. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full.
Thank you. We want to really encourage you to take out your Bibles, whether in digital or analog form, and read along with us. We know it's on screen there. And we really place a premium value on Scripture, on the Word of God. And we'll look at in episode 8 on how there's power. We believe there's supernatural power in the reading and understanding and studying of the Word. And it's just not, we're not just wasting on time air. This is really good stuff. Now, what's underlying this passage in John 15 is what's going on here, Sebastian?
Essentially, it is Jesus establishing a relationship with himself that is replacing the relationship that the people used to assume belonged to being a part of the community of Israel. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, I am the true vine. Mm-hmm. They thought being connected to Israel was the source. Mm-hmm. That's where I get life. That's how I glorify God. That's how I receive all the blessings that I have. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm the real vine, and therefore your dependence should be upon me and your relationship to me than it is upon your relationship to the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to essentially clarify that dependence and where that dependence should be, and how anything else doesn't have the efficacy or the efficiency to help you to do what God is calling you to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate the historical context. There's also this universal context that, that we established in episode one or two or three. Or, watch the previous episodes and find out and let me know which one it is. But on one of those episodes, that God is creator. And God did not, and the prevalent idea of God is that God is deistic. God created the world and just let us be independent, and the two just kind of drifted away. But Scripture does not show that kind of modality. God created the world and he's still connected. And it's humanity that wants to be independent. But God is still connected, wants to be connected, and for our identity as human beings, still to be connected.
Yeah.
Siku. I'll say verse 5, where it says...
Verse 5?
Yeah, the end of verse 5 is where it says, "For without me you can do nothing." It made me think of Colossians chapter 1, verse 17.
Okay.
Where it talks about that Jesus, that he's the one who created all things. And then it says in Colossians 1:17 that in him all things consist. That's in him all things hold together. So it's not just, like you were saying, that it's not just that you set it and forget it kind of thing. Like he created the world and then, okay, like, you know, go have a ball. But when he created, he created the world, and then he holds the worlds together so that the stars hang in their place because he holds them in their place, right? So we would want to think that we can exist without God, but the reality is, even if we do not acknowledge him as God, that without Jesus, we would not exist. He is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. So we need God in order to exist. We needed him to begin our existence, and we still continue to need him, which, side note, like, that makes God, when we think of it that way, the fact that atheists exist, someone who openly denies the existence of God, that person continues to exist, sustained by the one whom they deny. I mean, that is an incredible amount of love, forbearance, kindness, grace that God shows. That you're going to pretend like I don't exist, but you wouldn't exist if it weren't for me, you know, giving you breath.
Son said, "I don't believe in you," I'm like, "Well, you're not gonna exist, son."
That's like, you don't pay for the house, Lord. I'm still going to live here.
Yeah.
It also shows you the security of God, that God is not insecure. In his position, he's not threatened by your, you know, castigating, your blogs, right, your vlogs, all the articles and the videos and documentaries you produce and your debates, like, God is so comfortable and sits so far above the distractions of the earth. Like, for him, this is like child's play, ants going at it. Like, there's no human beings. Like, what are ants going to do? And and in God's mind, he's perfectly fine. He's secure. And I think that's important to what Siku's dealing with in connection to the goodness of God that we've talked about, you know, in episode number 2, where it's like he's so secure, and in that security, he's able to bring his goodness, which is critical to how he gets them out of atheism. And the recognition that one day they will realize that the whole time he's been sustaining me, and I've been completely dependent upon him. And he was willing to sustain me. Why? With the hope of reconciling our relationship.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this, sister and bro. There are some people out there who they're like, you're using the words dependence and connected, and, you know, I don't like those words. I mean, there's something innate in human nature. They want to be so independent. Why did he create us to be dependent? Let's take the advocate position. Why do we need God? We're doing fine without God, aren't we, Kelly?
So early on in my Christian experience, I was talking to a pastor, and I kind of asked him something similar to that, but it was more so, I get it that the Holy Spirit works in me and develops a better Christ-like character in me. Like, I get that. But, like, can Jesus not get all the credit? Like, can I just get credit for being a good person? Like, because it's hard, right? It's hard to surrender to Jesus. It's hard. Like, can I just be, like, not like, oh, yeah, like, we see Jesus and Callie. Like, can't just Callie just be patient? Can't Callie just be great? Can't Callie? And he gave a very good answer. And he was like, the reason you can't is because it doesn't work that way. Like, you can't get credit for something you don't have credit for. Mm-hmm. And so the reason that we're dependent on God, I mean, it sounds very dull, but it's because we are. That's why. Mm-hmm. So it's not God's like, oh, I want it to be this way. God's like, oh, I want you to see it this way. I want you to.
It's a metaphysical reality.
It's
the way things are.
It goes to the last episode where we're talking mm-hmm. about, you know, the law. Mm-hmm. You can argue gravity all you want. But at the end of the day,
you will fall.
You jump off that building.
You can be like, well, I don't believe in it, you know, and you'll jump. And that is the reality of law.
Yeah.
And so why are we dependent? It's a law of our being. Yeah, it's just a law of how things are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because God is creator. And the reality is that because he is creator, you cannot be creator. Mm. The moment you were created, you lost the opportunity to be creator.
That's right.
Right? Mm. Yep. Therefore, there is only one creator, is the one who created, and then everything else in the universe was created.
Man, that was good. You should tweet that out there. The moment you were created, you lost the opportunity to be creator.
Right, and that's just a reality of what is. Mm. And we could fight, and we do fight. You know, we fight against it, mm-hmm. and we rebel against it, but we cannot change the fact that God is creator and we are created. The beautiful thing is, and sorry, harping back to that episode too, mm-hmm. The beautiful thing is the one who is creator is actually good, because it would be awful if
we're dependent on.
Yeah, if we were dependent on this despot, you know, mm-hmm. on this cruel, mean, you know, being, because that would be our reality. But the reality is, thankfully, the one who created us is actually a good God.
Yeah. Kelly, we jumped on your point there, but it was good.
Yeah, I think just the idea is that in order to be the self-sufficient, this like, oh yeah, I created myself and I'm good in myself, is I have to be destroyed and start over. But if I'm destroyed, then I'm not there anymore, so I'm supposed to create. Like, it just doesn't make logical sense. So, but it comes from very logical minds, right? Because they're saying things like, oh, well, I will be independent. But there's only a line where it says, if God created you, then you, like Asika was saying, you can't go back and create yourself. But if you really want credit for all these things, you need to do the things that deserve that credit. And you don't have that power. Mm-hmm. And that's what people try to live their lives of, like, oh, I'm being good by myself. Like, well, no, you're not. You're not even breathing by yourself. And so, like, you just, so, because we're very prone to giving, we give more credit for God for spiritual things, but we don't give as much credit to God for just being creator.
Mm.
But he's all those things. So he not only sustains us spiritually, but he sustains us physically.
And
it's a tough pill to swallow for humanity to acknowledge that we're creatures. Like, it's not a natural identity that we identify mm-hmm. with. We have to take a break right now, but when we come back after the break, we're going to look at independence, codependence, dependence, like how much can we be clinging with God and all those dynamics. So stick with us after the break. Hey, welcome back. We as human beings, we identify ourselves with different attributes of God's character, but something about independence that we are gravitated towards too in our sinful selfishness. And with the principle of Sabbath, the principle of God's law, Scripture reveals that we are to be dependent to Him, especially as we read John chapter 15 in this episode. Siku, you're itching to say something.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Before we went to break, something Callie said made me think of that we weren't always this way.
We were not always this way.
Yes, there is something in us that rebels against the concept of being dependent on and reliant on God.
Mm-hmm.
But when he created us, we go to Genesis, that's how he made us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were created to be dependent upon him.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us ability to do things, and he gave Adam, you know, he put him in the garden, he's like, this is the work for you to do, because I've given you the ability to, the capacity to conduct these works. However, like, when he made Adam on the sixth day, and the very next experience he has is Sabbath, which is a day of rest. He's like, before you go and do the work that I'm giving you to do, the very first thing that you need to experience is resting in me.
Mm.
Recognize that before you can go and do any work, you need to be in me, right? You need to be abiding in me. And then come first day of the week, you go and tend the garden, etc. Mm-hmm. So yes, he was given a work to do, but it started with the experience of Sabbath, of depending, of resting in Jesus, before he could go and do the work that God was calling him to do. So, and he didn't rebel against that, you know, because it was a perfect world. So when God created us, he created us to be dependent upon him.
And so we have dependence running in our DNA, yeah? And I just want to make sure that we are speaking the right code, right language. When you say rest in him, that we aren't programmed to sleep or just take a nap.
Right.
But that rest is really the state of all peace, everything's going to be all right, just where everything, you know, where all the settings of your humanity are all at their ideal settings, right? Mm-hmm. And then we go through life, we go through work, and those settings get messed up, right? We go to whatever, but once a week, we come back to God, and God is the one that resets us to those original settings that he made us to be, and that's what rest is, and that we need that once a week. I appreciate that connection because we've been talking about dependence.
Yep.
We have that dependence running through us. We rebel against this, but every week, once a day, we're reminded of that. Now, we're going to Sebastian, but I do want us to be mindful that we talk about these high things. Right? I'm going to mention every Sabbath, or every episode, about every Sabbath. That we talk about these high things, but is that your experience every Sabbath? Or is it that we just go to church, we hear a good sermon, we come back home, and then we rest, you know? And how do we connect that to? Because that is also a really key thing that we need to be talking about. So Sebastian and then Siku, because she's going to hold her breath. The whole night.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question in a direct sense, I each episode, each study that we do, we are constantly confronted with the reality that even keeping the Sabbath as a commandment is still only possible by the grace of God. It's only possible for us to understand and experience those things in the Sabbath through the workings of his Spirit. And so through that sanctification, as he sanctified the Sabbath and he set it aside, and we saw in Ezekiel 20, right in episode 1 and 2, that he gave us the Sabbath as a sign that he's the one that sanctifies us. Mm-hmm. So that process of him setting us aside as the Sabbath is holy, holy, we will eventually become holy, holy as well. And we'll be able to have that type of experience. Mm-hmm. And this is why I think independence is a good and great reminder of the Sabbath every single week to remind me that I am dependent. But in many ways, it goes back to the discussion on the goodness of God. If we don't take time to see it and to pay attention to it, it's easy to not notice it. And that's just a part of the humility of God. God just does things in ways that you can miss it. Even though, you know, Jesus says in Matthew 5:45 that he makes the sun, right, come on the just and the rain, but we don't see a divine Michelangeloid face, right, bringing the sun, bringing the, you know, the rain over, and he's like pouring, like someone watering their plants, and it's like, oh, that's God that sent the rain. It's God that brought the sun. But he just does it in such a way where it's easy to miss it, and I believe this is the same that happens with dependence.
How do we do that? I want to get into the practical. I fundamentally agree with you there. Humanity has had a hard time with that to begin with, without the technology, without the social media, without entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? We're now living in an age where we're so bombarded, we need to be reminded to like love our children, to love our mothers and fathers, to be healthy, to sleep.
Yeah.
To eat. We have to be reminded of that through, you know, devices like this that dictate how we should live. This almighty fruit that's replaced our God. How do we do that with Sabbath? How do we do that with these eternal realities?
It's not what I was holding my breath for, but I'm going to say that. The beautiful thing about Sabbath is it's practical, right? We've been talking, you know, the philosophical, you know, the concepts of Sabbath. Yeah. But on the Sabbath day, we're called to cease from our labor, to cease from physical labor, that we actually have to practically stop doing. There's a spiritual reality of that. We need to rest and reset, but we physically have to stop. Like, you know, just stop. What it is that you don't need to do on the Sabbath, just stop. Stop doing stuff. That physical stopping gives us an opportunity to actually stop. You know, I don't know how else to say that we need to stop. There, like you're talking about in this day and age, we're on a constant go, 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 go. Mm. And ever since we got our email on our phone, like even after you leave work, you still have work in your hand. Mm. You know, like we got cell phones. Back in the day, you could somebody could miss you when they called you at home, but now you didn't pick up. You're screening my call. You know,
right.
Like you have your phone all the time. Like it's a constant go, go, go. But there's one day that God set apart for you to actually stop.
And I think that's a great point, Siku, because from a business perspective, people are like, this isn't financially making good sense for you to close on Sabbath.
Right.
Or for you not to work on Sabbath.
Not to study on Sabbath.
Exactly. Not to study for your exams. These are all things that are constant practical pieces of that cessation that shows my dependence upon God. Mm-hmm. And I think practically within the Sabbath, my consciousness to focus upon God is also bringing me back to the reality of my dependence. Mm-hmm. Because what am I going to be reminded on Sabbath when I step away from business and work and studying and all these other things and email? I'm going to be reminded of the salvation that he provided I had nothing to do with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be reminded that he created me I had nothing to do with. I'm going to be reminded of the instruction of his word and how he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. Mm. So the constant bombardment from mine is the greatness and the awesomeness and the majesty of God, which is going to humble my own pride and self-sufficiency by seeing his completeness and his sufficiency at the same time.
Right, and that day I'm focusing on God because I had to stop working. Yes, I work so that, you know, my family can have food, but I had to stop working. And on that day, I think of the God who provides the food. Yeah, you go to work every day and we should, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the day where you realize that ultimately, I couldn't go to work if God didn't give me strength. If he didn't give me breath.
Wisdom.
Like that day, we are reminded that we are ultimately dependent on him because we have to stop doing what you're doing. Just stop for a moment and recognize that we're dependent on God. Because I grew up with the Sabbath concept and this idea of, you know, stopping, you know, stop what you're doing, don't do homework, you can't go to certain activities or whatever. Sometimes it felt restrictive, right?
Yep.
But what it's meant to do actually is to refocus, like you're talking about the recalibration. That physical activity of ceasing activity is meant to recalibrate our thinking, right? To recognize that, you know what? I am dependent upon God. And just to connect with something I was going to say before, that this idea of being dependent on God, it's not because we're sinful. And this recalibration, before sin, maybe we wouldn't call it a recalibration, maybe just a continual calibration. That being dependent upon God, stay calibrated, right? Being dependent on God is not because we're sinful. It's not because we sinned that now we need to depend on him, because before, we didn't need God.
Yeah.
Because Sabbath was there before sin came into the world. And every week, Adam and Eve had to recognize that we are dependent on God. We are dependent on God. And into time eternal in the future, we have to continue to remember that we're dependent on God. What broke when Adam and Eve sinned was the serpent said, you can be God. You are not dependent on God. Mm. You don't need to be dependent on God, right? And so every week now we have to be reminded, right, of something that, you know, we were constantly aware of, you know, before sin came into the world. And so that stopping is an opportunity for us to remember that I am dependent on God. And that becomes the foundation of our spiritual experience.
Which builds off of the fact that just keeping the Sabbath and the obedience of it is the dependence. If they just keep his commandments in the Garden of Eden, they are staying dependent upon him. But the moment they usurp his position and say, I can dictate my own moral destiny, I can dictate right from wrong, I don't need his word, I can basically reject his word and focus on my own intelligence and my own senses that I can figure this thing out without Jesus, I am violating that covenant of dependence that's intrinsic to my nature. Mm-hmm. And so just keeping the Sabbath is an expression of dependence that I'm going to submit to your will when it says, well, if you don't come in on Sabbath, you're going to lose your job. Well, if you don't do this on Sabbath, how are you going to keep up with the rest of the medical school students? Mm-hmm. It's my dependence in that by saying I'm going to obey him and trust him. Mm-hmm. That is practically reminding my brain like, hey, I believe that I can study only 6 days or work only 6 days and be just as prosperous, if not more prosperous, because I'm dependent upon Christ.
Is there, Can we be too dependent on God? Can we be clingy with Him? Is it yes. a version of can we codependent or interdependent or I'm not trying to flash these words to be whatever but to be annoying. Maybe it is. Yeah, it is. But people have a negative idea on dependence. What does dependence mean? Is it just keeping the Sabbath? Is that dependent? I'm trying to analyze what that is. Let's scratch that surface. Siku and then yeah. Kelly.
I mean, when you say codependent, I think that's when we think like clingy. Mm. There are things that we can do that we ought to do for ourselves, right? God has already given us the ability to, you know, to take a spoon and like shovel the food into your mouth. And it's like, God, I'm so hungry. And it's like, then eat, you know, like there's food in front of you.
Yeah.
So yes,
it's hyperbole, but there are people who say like, I am not getting out of my bed until God, you tell me to do so. Mm-hmm. I am not going to choose what clothes I wear until you tell me to do so.
Right.
And that's a level of weirdness there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
I mean,
is
God
not,
has given us minds to,
that's
to
right.
decide. Yeah.
Which is not intrinsic to his creation model because he told yeah. Adam, eat freely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we see that Adam doesn't come to him and say, well, peaches, oranges, yeah. God's going to be like, eat freely,
yes.
right? I've given you discernment and wisdom.
So there are people who are dependent. What's that healthy balance of dependence?
I think the healthy balance comes from knowing who you are and knowing who God is.
Mm.
And so it's not just studying the Bible and thinking like, oh, this is all who God is, but like the Bible reveals who we are too. Mm. And so you understand all of who God is, and you also understand like these biblical examples of this is how God interacts with us, and this is what God expects from us. And that's when we can have a healthy, balanced view of ourselves. Mm.
Even the secular world out there is saying, keep the Sabbath, keep a digital Sabbath, keep whatever, and learn to be human. And the Bible has been saying that since the beginning. Learn to be human as we learn more about our Creator. Hopefully that's your prayer, that's our prayer here around this table, to keep the Sabbath and to be more human in the way that God created us to be, and to have these wonderful, vibrant, abundant lives 6 days of the week and keeping a holy Sabbath. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week here on Inverse as we continue on talking about the Sabbath day. God bless you.